Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a weekly podcast to keep you up to date on what's new on our cloud platform, Microsoft Azure. Your hosts, Cynthia Crane, Evan Basilik, Suji DeMello, Kendall Roden, Kel Teeter, and Russell Young, discuss a different service or solution on each show, with subject matter experts to explain how to get started, how different services work, and how to make decisions in tricky scenarios. You can find out more about our podcast at azpodcast.com or follow us on Twitter at Azure Podcast.
Welcome back to the Azure Podcast. This is episode 386, recorded on the 21st of July, 2021. And on Teams with us today, we have Kendall, Suji, Kale, Evan, and our very special guest, Daria, to talk about static web apps. Before we get into the actual topic, as usual, we have a couple updates to share. Kale, do you want to start?
Yeah, sure. Also, for those old people, 386, I think we should call this the 386 DX2 podcast.
I owned one of those. I remember those days.
Anyway. Real quick, on the news, I have three things today. One of them, it may be obvious to people, but I didn't even realize this was here. So basically, we'll put a link in this, but there's an update page you can go to, which has an RSS feed for in development, in preview, GA. I didn't realize that. Maybe I'm just stupid, but I didn't even realize that that existed over there. So you can essentially just search for any service and see like where it's at, like in its life cycle. So if you're looking if something's going GA, because I get a lot of calls all the time about people saying, when's this going GA? Is this in preview?
Those kind of things. You're talking like general services at a high level, not specific features or components or okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, at the service level. Pretty neat. So I stumbled into that somehow this week.
Yeah, cool. Kale, I don't know how you haven't seen that before because I use that for the podcast.
That's awesome.
I was about to say you revealed our secret for the podcast here.
No, it's interesting. Okay, two other ones real quick. The Azure VM Image Builder service is now GA, speaking of GA. But this is a pretty cool thing. Again, I don't know that we've talked about the Image Builder service on the podcast at all, but kind of an interesting service for building standardized images with, you know, configurations already kind of pre-baked into them to meet your company specs and things like that. Very similar to, it's actually built on HashiCorp Packer technology for Linux and VM and Windows VMs. And then the last one I had real quick was one around learning, which was a link here around this inside Azure for IT. Again, I don't think we spoke about this on the podcast, but there's a nice blog post here about this, and then a link to the inside Azure for IT, which allows you to kind of accelerate your learning of Azure, specifically on the IT side. So less on the dev side, but it has a lot of nice links over there. That's all.
Great. Thank you.
I put one in there as well, and this was related to ASP.NET. If you use ASP.NET in Azure, you could take advantage of Cosmos DB to have your session state and your caching stored. So in ASP.NET, there is a concept of a session state provider and also a caching provider. These are just session state is what you would use in a typical web application to store where the user, what the user was doing as they clicked through your application. And similarly, there is a very common caching pattern that's used in ASP.NET applications. Typically, you can put the cache in memory, but now you could store both of them, the session state and the caching information in Cosmos DB. So you have a more persistent store for both the session state and the caching information. This way, in case your server gets rebooted, your app service gets rebooted, you don't lose all of that. You don't lose all of the logins for your user, and your users don't have to re-log in. They can just continue where they left off. Makes it more resilient. I think this is a really nice feature. In the past, we've had to kind of code this by hand, writing your own session state provider and caching provider, and now it's made available to you in Cosmos DB. So take a look at that.
And now, over to you, Daria. Can you introduce yourself to our listeners and tell us what you do at Microsoft?
Happy to. My name is Daria Gregoriou. I am the PM manager for Azure Static Web Apps, and I'm happy to be here.
Awesome. Just to start, what is static web apps and what can we do with it?
Azure Static Web Apps is a web hosting service intended for full stack modern web apps. And we essentially take your code from source code to high availability in the cloud.
So I have a question over here. I mean, there are a lot of ways to host websites in Azure, right? From, I remember doing it back using a web role in cloud services to obviously app services, AKS, you know, you name it. What makes this option any different?
The most important thing that makes this option different is the design pattern of those web apps. So as part of our Azure Dev Compute portfolio, we actually have more than one option for hosting web apps because there is more than one design pattern for the web apps. And in the case of Azure Static Web Apps, the pattern that we support is that static front end, the kind of content that we can actually take and distribute globally. And we support the optional dynamic backends powered by serverless functions. So it's really more about how we can tailor an experience to this type of design pattern so that our customers can be more productive, more efficient, and enjoy their experience with Azure because we understand exactly what they're building. This type of web app doesn't require a web server. So if that kind of web app that you are running does require a web server, then something like Azure App Service would be a much more appropriate option because it's tailor built for web apps that do require a web server.
I see. So this is more for the single page application style applications. Is that a web app? Is that what it is? SPA, as they call them?
Yeah, SPA is one type of the app that we support. And in general, anything that can be pre-rendered and does not require a web server. And a lot of these applications also require the dynamic backend just to make the experience for the end customer more interactive, maybe to also connect to data. And that's why Azure Functions is integrated into this by default and managed on the customer's behalf so that we can support that really full stack with the front end and the back end coordinated together seamlessly.
So, from my understanding, I know that you can. We have an option where you can host the static web, I guess more like static websites in something like an Azure Storage. So that's unrelated to this particular offering. And then is this based in an app service plan? Is it running on top of an app service similar to how traditional web apps are, or is it a completely different service altogether?
No, so I think there are two questions there. So let's address them one by one. So in the Azure portfolio, like we mentioned, there are different options for hosting web apps and also different options for hosting static web apps. So the Azure Storage offer is an excellent offer for customers who really want to build their own because they might want more control rather than more streamlined experiences. So it's totally a valid option, but in that case, customers will have to handle their own deployment pipelines, their own global distribution, their own configuration. And, you know, like I said, that is totally valid for some of our customers, and they should absolutely take advantage of the Azure Storage options. For customers who want to see a managed type of service, this is where they would go to static web apps. They would just point us to a repo, and they would go, you know, I really want you to do all this work for me. I really do not want to deal with setting anything up. And so here's my code. Please make it available to my end users. And so that is kind of how I would see the two options. We always trade, you know, some control for that productivity. And it's a spectrum where customers can decide what works best for them. Now, for static web apps, do we run in an app service plan? No, we don't. This is its own type of resource in Azure with its own experience in terms of both the platform and the management experience that we provide. But it's part of the same portfolio of services because what we want to do is make sure that we continue to make our Azure Dev Compute services our one-stop shop for customers, and they can choose within that portfolio what type of pattern are they building. Are they building a web app, and if so, what kind? Are they building a serverless API or a workflow? And so they can choose a service depending on their app needs.
And Daria, you mentioned briefly that I think you said functions is included as part of this program, this service, or do they need another functions plan to run the, like a, you know, a backend API for the web application?
So there are two options. Some customers, like I mentioned, really do not want to have a lot of control in terms of managing each individual component of the solution. So what we do is we advise customers to place their front-end code and their back-end code, their functions, in the same repo. And they point us to this repo. And what happens from there is that we listen to PRs, we listen to changes, and we generate a workflow through GitHub Actions for the customers. We also have options for other pipelines like Azure DevOps. And then we take that code and we deploy it to Azure, and we understand which part of the source code is the front end. So we deploy that and distribute it globally. We also understand which part of that code is a function. And so we generate that function or functions for you, and we actually link them and connect them back to your front end so you can discover them through an API route, and that's how you can reference them from your front end code. No need to enable cores because everything is routed through our infrastructure. So that is the option that we provide by default, so that customers really have to do nothing other than point us to the code. Now, there are some customers who already have serverless APIs in Azure Functions, for example. And there's a good reason for that, because Azure Static Web Apps may not be the only front-end client that is consuming those APIs. They might have a need to reuse those APIs from other contexts as well. Or they may have a need for much more granular specific configuration. For example, they may be running in a premium plan, or they may be running with advanced features of Azure Functions, like durable functions. And in that case, customers can manage their own Azure Functions resource, and then they would just point us to that resource, and they would say, okay, please link this particular function app to my Azure Static Web App. And we would understand again how to set up the routing and how to show you those two resources are connected to make sure that your experience as a customer is as streamlined as it can be.
Thank you.
Sorry, I know you mentioned it being globally distributed. Do customers or the developers choose a region that they deploy to, and then Azure does the magic, or how does the distribution work?
That's a good question. So we do distribute on behalf of the customer. So we decide where that goes, and we make sure that this is not an additional action or request that we make of the customer. We just distribute our content. We do enable our customers to choose a region for the pre-production environments and functions, because functions are dynamic, and so they scale out and back in depending on demand, but they are not distributed to multiple regions at this time. They exist in one region, which is the region that a customer would select at the time of creating the static web app that functions are associated with. We also provide pre-production environment. So essentially what we do, we listen to PRs coming in the repo that we're watching, and then we auto-provision these pre-production environments, because especially in web scenarios, often there is a need for customers to kind of validate those changes in an environment before they merge into production. And so it's a seamless experience for customers to be able to validate their PRs before they merge into their production branch. And so at the time of creating the static web app, there is a selector for a region, but we make it clear that the selector applies to your pre-production environment. So this is where you'll find your code before you go to production. And also this is where we provision your functions.
Follow-up question on that, because you talked about deployment. Is there idea of similar to deployment slot that they can like start with a little bit of traffic on this new deployment and make sure that everything is okay before like they route all the traffic there?
No, there is not. So we expect customers to validate their changes in these pre-production environments, and then we expect them to merge those changes back into the production branch they've designated as the production branch. And at that time that we distribute everything and 100% of the traffic goes to production.
Thank you.
Sure.
How does this work from a pricing perspective? What are the tiers available to our customers?
That's another great question. So we have two plans, and the first one is free. It's really a free plan where we want customers to be able to experience the product and be able to kind of work on it hands-on and see how easy it is to use. And we also have a production plan called Standard. And Standard is essentially the full set of features of the product. And it offers SLA, so it's ready for production workloads, it's ready for supporting production workloads, and customers can essentially graduate from the trial option, the free plan, to the standard plan and get their workloads production ready.
And that free plan, is that always free or is it free for the first 12 months? How does that normally work?
No, it is always free, but you know, like everything that is free, there are some limits to that. So we always want customers to be aware that there's some quotas in place, obviously. And so if their app starts to become pretty popular, then we definitely advise customers to move to standard. And also there's no SLA in the free plan because we have to enforce those quotas. And so we cannot guarantee that an app is available 100% of the time. I think we have some pretty generous inclusions, but we do not advise customers to run anything on a plant that doesn't have SLA.
Yeah, so I was curious, is in situations where customers might have Azure functions running, existing Azure functions, but they're front-ending them with something like an API management because they have multiple consumers, not just the static front end, is there any kind of any kind of capability which would allow them to have a front end gateway sitting in front of the Azure functions, or does it have to be direct communication?
So those scenarios are possible, but they go more into the territory of customers having to do some of their own configuration, which is, you know, still a very valid scenario. And at this time, the type of streamlined management that we provide is going to Azure Functions directly. But you know, this is one of those topics that is great to hear from customers about. And a lot of the features that we build are based on the customer feedback that we receive. And we have a GitHub repo where we gather all of these feature requests. And then we can watch the customer conversation and we can engage directly with our customers. So I would just encourage anyone who has a question or a feature request to go to our GitHub repo. We are more than happy to engage and more than happy to figure out how we can help each specific scenario there.
Sort of following up on your comment, what first introduced the idea of like static web app, and that's something that we wanted to build? What was the backstory behind it?
So I've been working in the space of web and serverless for a long time. And one of the products that I worked on initially was Azure App Service, then Azure Functions. And so working in this space, I got to talk to customers who were starting to look for solutions for this pattern with the static front end and the dynamic serverless back end. And Azure App Service is great, but we noticed that these apps that don't need a web server could definitely benefit from us being more aware of the specific front-end frameworks that people are using and knowing how to recognize them and how to build them automatically, more aware of the static side generators that participate in this type of design pattern, and again, recognizing them, knowing how to build them. Also understanding that some of the configuration is different, some of the requirements in terms of proximity to end users, hence the global distribution of content. And so we really wanted to make sure that we tailor our solutions to this pattern, and we wanted to make sure that we communicate back to customers that we understand these are different scenarios and that our solutions can adapt. And so it's kind of the backstory, just kind of gradually starting to see more and more customers shifting to this pattern and starting to think about how we can address it. It turned out that because the design pattern is so different, it was best to create an actual service for it.
Awesome. Any last questions or from Daria, any call to action from our listeners, like what they should try with static web app or what? Yeah.
What's coming up, by the way? Anything that we can expect in the service? Any enhancements that are being planned, for example, that you can share right now?
So like I mentioned, a lot of our ideas come from our customers. And so you can pretty much look at our repo and you can see some of the interesting ideas that we're experiencing and experimenting with right now. I'm not able to share a full roadmap at this time, but I do encourage our customers to engage with us. In order to get started with the service, we have really extensive documentation and learn modules that are, full of great information, but also really easy to follow. So I would go to AKMS SWA Docs, and this is a great starting point for the learning journey. And then for any feedback and questions, our GitHub repo is also available for engaging directly with the product team.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, GitHub is free. The Azure, you can get a free tier for the Azure static apps. The function is free, so it's all free. Anybody can try this out. It's awesome. Thank you, Daria. That was very nice.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any thoughts, questions, or just want to connect, find us on Twitter at Azure Podcast. Background music has been taken from ccmixer.org under the Creative Commons license. We hope you'll tune in again soon to keep learning with us.